Good to see you here this evening. Appears that some may have gotten confused by the daylight, but it is good that we are here. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our series from that chapter. Living by faith, as we see all these aspects of how we are to live by faith. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And by it, in verse 2, men of old gained approval, God's approval. Tonight we continue to see in verse 3 about this unseen. I mean, certainly when we're talking about faith, we're always going to be dealing with things that are unseen. But in this particular case, in verse 3, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So, faith being evidence of things not seen, we go back to creation, something that certainly none of us saw. Something that no one saw, whether, you know, whatever side of the evolution creation debate. You know, they no more saw what they advocate than we have seen what we advocate by faith. And truthfully, you know, when we think about the evolutionary theory, they state what they state by faith as well. It's just not faith in God. It's faith in that particular belief that they have. You know, we are able to look around us and we are able to see, you can look out these windows and see God's creation. We are able to see the world, and therefore there is no need in faith in regard to that. I don't need faith in the creation itself because the creation is all around me. I am a part of the creation. When I look in the mirror, I see the creation. And so, you know, we don't need faith when we deal with the creation itself. It's clear and it's visible, and faith is about things that are not seen. However, we do need faith. We need faith in regards to the creation of it. Therefore, faith is required for an understanding of that effort that God put forth in creating the world. And I want us to understand, too, so I've heard people in the Lord's church try to dismiss the creation as not important, that Genesis is not important, that those things, we don't need to argue about those things, but yet here we have the writer of Hebrews making it clear. I mean, he could have easily not mentioned this at all. It's a chapter filled with people. And yet here he says, by faith we believe in the creation. And so, you know, writer of Hebrews says it is important. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so ultimately, if we're going to have faith, the only place we can find faith in regards to God's creation is going to be from the word of God. It is through that, through Scripture, that we can absolutely have certainty about how everything came into existence. But once again, we have to go back and we have to think about faith for just a moment. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that faith means trust. It's not just acknowledging God. That's not really a good or even a complete definition, certainly, of the word faith. It is about trust, that I trust God. And, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, I believe Andy exists over there. It's, and I always use Andy because I pick on him anyway. You know, it's one thing for me to say, yeah, Andy exists, right? It's another thing entirely for me to trust Andy with my children, right? Or to trust that Andy will do something for me that he says he will do. That's two entirely different things. And when we talk about faith, we're talking about trust. Do we believe that the Bible is absolute and inerrant truth? Do I trust that? Because ultimately, that's what it all comes down to. And that's where many people fail in their Christian lives, is because somewhere deep down in them, somehow they don't really trust that fact. They don't trust that it's inerrant. They don't trust that it's God's absolute truth. They somehow think there's something else besides that that is needed. And they err in doing so. You know, we have to look at certain scriptures and we have to ask ourselves, do I trust this scripture? Do I believe this scripture? Is this scripture true? When Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration, all Scripture is God-breathed, it's all from God's mouth. Do I believe that to be true? Or are there places in this book that I don't think are really important and probably God didn't really even write them? Because a lot of our religious scholars, even scholars within the Lord's church, are trying to say that to this very day. Have we come to believe what they say? That it's not all from God. What about when Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 through 21 that Scripture is not a result of human will, but instead men spake as the Holy Spirit guided them. They didn't put down what they thought. They didn't put down what they liked. They put down what the Holy Spirit said for them to put down word for word. And so when we look at that and we think about that, do I trust that? Do I believe that? Because if you don't trust that and if you don't believe that, then believing the creation, probably not going to believe that either. And we have to trust that the things that are in the pages that God has given to us today are the truth. Paul in verse 15, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he even says to Timothy, those things, and this would include Genesis, that his grandmother and his mother had taught him, he said they were sacred scriptures. That would have been Genesis chapter 1. So what made it sacred? Has anything that a man has written been sacred? Is the Iliad sacred? It's an old book, right? Made it sacred because it came from the mouth of God. And so when he talks about Genesis 1, he says they were sacred scriptures that you were taught. Therefore, when we read scriptures, we need to remember that it's not a collection of men's ideas. It's not some kind of a collection of oral traditions. I love that one. That it's sort of like the whisper game. You ever heard that little analogy tried to be applied to the Bible? That these men kept whispering it down to each other, and what it was at the beginning, we have no idea. We just have what came down about 1,000 whispers later, right? Certainly that's not what we're looking at here. I remember talking to some young men that were out knocking doors from a religious group, and we had about an hour-long conversation out on my driveway. But you know, there came this point where they said, well, you do know, sir, don't you? And of course, I didn't know this. They said, you do know, sir, that that book you have, it's full of all kinds of errors because men have messed it all up over the years. And that's why we needed this new book, a supplement, an addition, a latter-day thing. You know, I told them, folks, and this is really what it comes down to. If your God is not strong enough, powerful enough to keep a simple book intact, what in the world do you think He can do for you? I believe God has protected His book. I believe that He has kept it intact throughout all these years. Well, so it comes down to us totally trusting God's Word for what it says. Well, just compare that for just a moment to science. You know, God's Word hasn't changed. I picked up my dad's Bible, and he has been preaching from that one Bible. I saw it was on the stand there at his church building, and he's been preaching out of that Bible since before I was born. And it's the same message. Nothing has changed in the message. And yet, when we think about evolution, the age of the earth and the age of the universe changes almost daily, doesn't it? And we're not talking about, you know, okay, we missed it by 10 years, right? We thought it was, you know, it's 10 years older than we thought. No, we're talking about missing it by billions of years. There are some humongous jumps. And so how can I really, at the end of the day, trust that to be fact when it changes continuously? You know, I was always taught that facts were facts, right? And they didn't change. And yet this one just goes back and forth and all over the place and up and down and all around. How can we, you know, trust this when there have been so many changes to the fundamental view of origins and science, even in the past few decades, that they are changing the things that they were saying because they realized that what we were saying was fact. Well, it really wasn't, but here's the new fact, right? And next year we might prove that one wrong too, and so it won't be a fact anymore. It'll be where we were wrong. But, you know, facts are facts. And when God's Word states something, that hasn't changed. You know, there's not been a need for a revision. There's not been a need for a latter-day revelation for us today like we see sometimes in the science community. How can we trust ideas as fact when they constantly change? How can we trust those teachings that violate even scientific laws? the laws that they say are immutable, the laws that they say do not change, laws such as biogenesis or thermodynamics. There's never been a case where you've proved those laws wrong, and yet you violate them. How can I trust that? It's not honest. You know, seeing the creation, though, as we look outside, or you look around, and if you travel and you've seen some beautiful places in the world, I was blessed, you know, to go to Africa a couple of years ago, and just unbelievable beauty. And how can you look at that and not see God? Not just that, you know, as we look at creation, it cries out for a creator. The organization of it, the complexity of it, cries out for it. You know, I love it because these same scientists shoot off, you know, the Voyager spacecraft that just left our solar system completely out into deep space beyond the sphere of our sun. You know, it left. How do they shoot that out there and hit the planets as they go on out there and ricochet them off? Because there is such order in the universe. And that kind of order doesn't come out of chaos. It is design and complexity. For me to do that, you know what it takes to do that? A lot. A lot of complexity. There's little muscle cells, there's nerve cells, there's signals from my brain. It's got to be trained, right? There's a lot to just move my finger. And here I am. I know y'all are saying, yeah, and you can't even move your finger without talking. I have to move my hands. It's part connected to my mouth. That's complex. But when we think about the complexity, and forget the complexity of this of the human body, that just blows your mind. Forget that. Let's get down something what we would consider simple. Let's think about a single cell organism, right? A virus. The bacteria. Those are so incredibly complex. Let's even try to say that just happened by chance or by accident. Borders on absurd. And when you take that kind of complexity and you put it into a statistics type of forum, you find that it is considered statistically by mathematicians impossible. And yet we're told on a daily basis in all kinds of forums that that's exactly what happened. How can we trust that when we look at that? These things demand a creator. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, His, God's, invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." You are without excuse if you look around at this creation and you say, and you deny God, because everybody says they did, but they chose not to retain God in their mind, Paul says. But see, they chose not to retain Him. It wasn't that it wasn't clear that He was there. It wasn't that it wasn't clear that there was a God. It was that they just didn't want Him. And so they walked away from Him. But God's creation cries out for a creator, doesn't it? Cries out for Him. For Psalm 19:1 tells us that the heavens declare God's glory. I love astronomy. I love seeing things in space, you know, using a telescope. I like to do those kind of things, but I'm amazed by it. And when the psalmist says that they declare His glory, they do, because when I think about it, what I understand about the universe and the size of it, just our understanding of the size of it, and you know, they're looking for the end, right? I'd love the day the Hubble Space Telescope focuses down somewhere and it says the end. But it's so enormous. So incredible. You know, you see the wide field aperture from the Hubble, and it shows thousands of galaxies besides ours. And we look at that. And here's what you've got to remember. God is bigger. God holds that, according to Colossians, together by the word of His power. He's holding it together. He's bigger than it. And when we think about that, the glory and the majesty and the power of God is just, it will overwhelm us. We hopefully are struck with the awe of God as we see His glory and His creation. You know, such a thought demonstrates Isaiah proclaiming how much higher God's thoughts are than ours, how much higher God's ways are than ours. We can't even begin to think like God because He's so much bigger. Think about how small we are on this planet in comparison to the universe. And we understand why He said, I'm amazed that God would listen to me. Something so small and insignificant, much less love me. You know, David was thinking about his own creation and God's foreknowledge of his life when he proclaimed in Psalm 139 and verse 6, I love this verse. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You know, when I get to thinking about God, it's just too wonderful. It is high, he says, I cannot attain unto it. You know, what I often say when I reach that point is it makes my head hurt, right? That I just get to this point, I think about God, and it gets to a point I don't know. I've reached my limit. And I know some of you are going, yeah, that's probably a pretty short trip. But I do. And I guarantee you, you spend much time thinking about God, you're going to reach your limit, however long a trip that is, I don't know, but you're going to reach your limit. Because, and you're not even going to touch Him. You're not even going to grasp just the smallest little piece of Him because He's so infinite and great and glorious. It is due to the obvious nature of God's creation to anyone who honestly looks at the wonderful nature of creation, we understand that only the fool says, there is no God. Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53:1. You know, the Hebrew writer said that by faith the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. That's here in verse 3 that we're looking at tonight. You know, Genesis 1 is where that is recorded. God's Word brought into existence creation from nothing. He brought the seen from the unseen. And we can't put that kind of power in a test tube, folks, and you never will be able to. You can't test tube God. He won't show up on any kind of test that scientists can do. He's God. The very laws by which any kind of test they may run were designed and put into place by Him. They're held in power by Him. You know, we can't put that there, but we can only hope to believe because it is beyond us. Think about God's Word spoken. I mean, if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, let's hear it. He says that by faith they believe that the worlds came into existence by the Word of God. Let's hear the words. Let there be light. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the water from the waters. Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear. Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. Let us make man in our image. Those are the words of God. And they weren't just words, were they? They were power. Let there be heavens. When I told you a while ago you could see thousands of galaxies, all it took was those words. And it happened. Light. Is it a particle? Is it a beam? Wave? What is it? God knows. He created it, right? Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be plants. And there was plants. Let there be animals. And there was animals. Let there be fish. And there were fish. Let there be man. And there was man. His words had power. Every one of those statements, though, begins with the Hebrew phrase, Wayomer Elohim. Y'all speak Hebrew? I don't. But you can look at your English translations. Then God said. Now here's the question. This is about faith. This is about trust. Do we believe God said it? Or did He just make that up? You know, there's a lot of times, and I grant there's you know, anthropomorphism, there's certain levels of symbolism that we see in the Bible. But I haven't found any of those that have to do with God's actual words. When he said, I say, or then God said. God said it. Do you think it meant anything? Do you think it did anything? You know, that's where our faith comes in, that we trust these things. Do you believe that God said these statements and what he said actually happened? That is the trust of faith. And I don't need to see it. I only need God to tell me. That is enough. You know, a man once said, hey, you're trying to limit God. No, I'm not trying to limit God. I'm honoring God by staying right with what he said. I'm not adding to what he said. I'm not taking away from what he said. I'm just sticking with what he said. That's honoring God. That's not limiting him. Yeah, he could have done it any way he wanted. He could have thought it. And it all could have happened in 6 seconds, right? That's not what he said. I believe what he said. I trust what he said. By faith, I believe in the creation as he said that he did it. Why? Why do I believe that? Because I believe with all my heart that all Scripture is inspired by God. And therefore it's profitable for me. And I need to listen to it. I never intended tonight to bring any science to this lesson about creation. I love the creation evolution debate. I love to study those things. But I never intended to bring any science to this lesson about creation, because science at the end of it all doesn't even matter. I either believe God or I don't. I either believe God or I believe science. That's really all it comes down to. You know, all the scientific evidences that you might be able to bring to bear to support certain aspects of the Bible really don't matter. It's like, I don't need them to find the ark on Mount Ararat to believe that Noah wrote it. You know, he said that he created everything in 6 days. I believe it. He said that everything reproduces after its kind. I believe it. He said that man was created on the 6th day of the creative process. And I believe it. No evolution, no gaps, no extra long days. Just a God of unimaginable power creating the entire universe with words. Now, if that doesn't amaze you, I don't think I can. And I don't think even God can. And if you can't be amazed by God, you just can't be amazed. You know, when we believe that God created the worlds by His Word and that God brought that which is seen from that which is unseen, it will not even matter what science says. Even if science for some reason contradicts the Bible, it still will be that the Bible is right and science is wrong. I don't care what it is. Because I believe in Him. I trust Him. It's that simple. I did enjoy Ken Ham saying that in the debate with Bill Nye, the science guy, right? He said, Bill, or he asked Ken, he said, what if something is discovered that messes up your belief? He said, it won't matter, because at the beginning and the end of the day, it's all what God said. That's absolutely the truth. And you know, that's where we begin, that's where we end, and everything else is about faith in between those two points. You know, science is never going to be right and God be wrong. Now, I know that by faith in what I have, I know by faith what I have not seen. Remember it, verse 1? It is the conviction of things not seen. I am cemented there. Why? Because God said it. I don't need anything else. And I'm not moving, because I have no reason to move, because God has proved Himself true. When people say that Genesis and the creation is not important, I realize that they have little to no faith. Because if you can't believe that God created everything like He said He did, you can't believe anything God says, and you cannot trust that God will do anything that He says. That's why it's important. Because the fact that He created everything makes Him worthy to demand my allegiance. Because He created everything makes Him the one that we must return to. He is the beginning and the end. Jesus in the book of Revelation is the Alpha and the Omega. It begins with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. You know, I loved it in the debate with Bill Nye and Ken Ham. I loved it when Bill Nye said, you know, if we keep letting these us, because we're stupid, if we keep letting these Christian people in science, it's going to cause us to go backwards. He hasn't done much history, has he? I guess Bill Nye, the science guy, was never the history guy. Because last time I checked, Sir Isaac Newton believed in the creation of God. And man, he really held science back, you know? That whole gravity thing, that held us back like 200 years. It's amazing how many scientists, as you go back, that made incredible discoveries and actually established the laws that these scientists function under were creationists. God's way doesn't send us into the Stone Age. It holds us to what is true and real. It keeps us from going out there and chasing things for selfish reasons and truly seeking what science is supposed to be, a search for truth, which is what we believe in. You know, the Bible complements honest science because honest science seeks that same truth that the Bible is. That's why the man that found the currents in the oceans began his quest for those things from a verse in the Bible that talked about paths and seas. See, it complements. It doesn't hold back. That's why the writer here says, by faith, we believe these things. God created. And because He created, He knows best because He knows all. He was there at the beginning. And all that there is began with His Word. And all that is will end at His Word as well. As Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, that it will all pass away. And all that's going to be left is us and God. Because this earth and this universe will pass away at the roar, and this earth and all of its works will be burned up. And all that's left is us and the one that created it all. So tonight, do we trust Him? Because Bill Nye, the science guy, is not the guy that's going to be appearing in the sky at that time. He's not the guy that's going to be calling people out of the graves, is he? Jesus Christ is. The one the Bible says created and holds all things together by the power of His might, Colossians chapter 1. This evening, if you haven't given your life to Him, why not? Please tell me what on this earth is greater, what on this earth is better, and what on this earth will get you past the last day this earth sees. Jesus Christ. Come to Him, believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God. Be buried in baptism. Raised to be a child of God, trusting what this book says to be true. And it'll never lead you wrong if you only trust Him. Where people go astray is when they stop trusting Him and think they know better. If you're a child of God today, and maybe you haven't been trusting as you should in what God has said, but have been denying things that God has said, and believing things that are in direct contradiction to what He said in this book, this inspired book, this which is God breathed from Him. Stop doing that and put your trust totally in the one absolute truth in this world, and that is God and His words. We can help you with that this evening. If we can pray for you, if we can encourage you in your Christian life, we want to do that. Why don't you come? As together we stand as we sing.